I feel like it's been kind of a 2020 series of weeks lately. I was supposed to be at a bridal party last night, but I didn't make it. What time did y'all finish?
Late.
Oh well. Our Lord has given us so many gifts and so much to ponder, and I confess ahead of time, my brain this weekend has been a little bit Swiss cheesed. So there's obviously so much going on in our community, and our Lord in some ways sets the tone with this sense of the enemy, the Pharisees, kind of attacking him, kind of subtly and in a very attractive way, innocently seeming to ask him just this question. You know, you're a truthful man, you're so like fawning over him, and then trying to get him to trip him up in his words, trying to get him to say something by which he would incriminate himself, either against Caesar by saying don't pay the tax to Caesar, or against his own faith by saying, well, yeah, it's okay to give what is God's in the temple tax. Let's pay this other god, Caesar. Caesar thinks he's God. Let's honor that. So either way, it's like a catch-22. He's in a bad situation. I was just struck our Lord's ability to see right through the smokescreen, to see right through their cunningness, not to be allured by it one way or the other. And the moral, for what it's worth, of what he says is like, yes, give to Caesar by all means those things stamped in Caesar. Give to the world what it owns of you, whatever, like your 10% to taxes, much more like your 10% to your job, your employment, your football status, your school, your homework, your friends, and what they have. Like, give to Caesar all that is Caesar's, but and all those things that are stamped in his worldly image, the images of the world. But remember what is stamped in God's image and likeness, and that is you. Give that to God. The whole of you belongs to God. Because so often, what are we doing? We're giving our 20% and 50% and 100% to Caesar's things and worldly affairs, and God actually ends up getting the leftovers, if that. It should be the other way around. I was struck by that, the way the enemy just kind of sets it before the Lord, like just, you know, you get this option or that option, both are losing options, choose one. And our Lord just kind of cuts right through. Today in our society and in recent weeks and some of the things that are so distracting, like one after another, it's like COVID, it's our health, and do I wear a mask or do I not wear a mask? Do I go out in public? Do I stay home? Do I do this? Do I do that? Which vaccine or no vaccine? Or at the end of the day, like, I don't know, but if it's taking you away from your relationship with God, your time with God, maybe either option is from the enemy, and the real answer is something else entirely. Racism, do I go with this ethnic group, that ethnic group, or do I say this or don't say that, or whatever? Like, I don't know, but if it's consuming your heart entirely for the moment, don't watch either CNN or Fox News to inform your soul. Stop, pray, and make sure God is the one informing your soul, the one who receives you. Do I vote this way or that way? Republican, Democrat? Do I just kind of like go with what I feel? Do I just kind of discern, I don't like that guy, so I'm voting the other way? Do I just get tired of everyone focusing on just one issue, so I vote the other way? How about neither? Why don't you pause for a moment and realize the answer might be deeper, something God's asking from underneath you, from within your heart. I do feel like there's so many things on the surface level, so many fires to put out. And I have just, I'm a bipolar, one option or the other of extremes. The hurricanes are coming, but do I stay, do I go? School's in session, do I go to school, do I stay home from school? The gossip, the latest, like whose side I'm gonna take in the recent drama at school or at the office or in the cafeteria or even our parish, like whose side do I take? Then you have the church scandal, do I stay Catholic, do I not stay Catholic? That seems like that's getting a little bit deeper. What I was struck with in the recent news is when suddenly there was a news story. We talk about the enemy and God pulling us one way or the other. Which way do I go? Which way does God want me to vote or do this or do that? Suddenly you saw in the news a moment of real demonic attack, real sacrilege against none other than the altar of the Lord. If y'all read the news in Pearl River, like the terrible things that happened there, kind of show that the real fight is actually underneath. The real fight is spiritual. We're worried about all the fires and the temporal affairs of Caesar. Do I go with that Caesar option or that other Caesar option? And I'm just consumed by that thinking and worrying and anxiety. But the real fight is underneath. How's my soul doing? How's my relationship with God doing? Is my soul being pulled by God or pulled by the enemy? Because the enemy is real. And amidst all that stuff on the surface, what's going on underneath? It's diabolic. The Lord sees through their cunningness, and we need to realize that the enemy works through smoke screens, through a lot of issues that just have us tangled up and all this. Is it that way or that way? I'm anxious. I'm reading this. I'm reading that. I can't think. I can't do anything. I'm just so full of anxiety and fear. Those aren't a place where God can speak. This is one more way for the enemy to keep us outside of ourselves and outside of that interior conversation with God. We're not discerning. We're reacting. Oh, I got to put out this fire. I got to take care of this thing. I got to make sure I answer that email. I got to make sure I comment on that Facebook post because that was wrong and I got to say something. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to discern. God doesn't speak right away and I don't have time to wait. I'm thinking of when you pray, when you come to Holy Communion, it's that conversation with our Lord like it was in Gethsemane. My heart is suffering, my soul is suffering, even to the point of death. Stay here with me. Stay here with me. Don't go too quickly to the surface of the right side or the left side of whatever argument. Stay here in your soul with me. Keep watch, St. Peter. I got this, Lord. I'll never deny you. And by the way, let's take care of this other thing and make sure we have the swords and whatever else. And what happens? He denies him. The fall was tragic of Peter because he wasn't listening on the inside. He wasn't praying. He wasn't staying in union, plugged into Christ. And he was just allowing the enemy, thinking that he was going the right way by going right. He was just being pulled away from center either way. He saw their malice, he recognized the cunning, the smokescreen, and he penetrated right to the core issue and stayed there. Is it the end of the world tomorrow, Father? Is the world going to end tomorrow with all this stuff going on in our nation? Or is it going to end in 1,000 years? Does it matter? What's the one thing you're called to do, whether you're in ethnic-torn USA, or you're in war-torn Afghanistan or Syria? What's the one thing you're called to do? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, giving yourself to those first, giving to God what is God's. And then secondly, giving to Caesar, whatever temporal situation you're in for Caesar, for the world. St. Paul would remind us, our battle is not against Caesar's issues and affairs only. Those are just on the surface. The real battle is against not worldly things, but principalities, not flesh and blood. But it's a spiritual warfare. The war, the battlefield is your mind, your heart. Where are your thoughts going when you're reading the news? Where are your passions going when you're keeping up with the gossip or the drama? Is Christ alive in my heart, or is it kind of distant from Him? Too much twisting in other things, too tangled in these issues back and forth. Recognize the real battle is the fight for your soul. The fight for my soul, the heart, my family's soul, our nation's soul. The one thing I want to do is make sure my kids, my family know that heaven is for real. God's one command is real. If they got that right, I can be at peace. If I didn't teach them that because I was too busy teaching them baseball and mathematics and science and everything else and politics especially, and I failed in that one thing, that's an existential failure because it was the one thing that mattered and it's the one thing that lasts. When you see the enemy, the devil, when you see him attacking the altar of God, the church itself, the place of intimate encounter with God on earth. You know what, what I noticed? The only positive thing I could take away is that you don't see sacrilege of that nature in any other spiritual community, any other church, much less on Capitol Hill. You don't see it quite so blatant. As if to say, if you didn't know where to come for God in the Catholic Church because God might have said so, or there was evidence in favor of that, the enemy seems to know. And the enemy of the enemy of my soul is my ally, no matter what the headlines say about the church. If it's the enemy of the devil, the enemy of Christ, if the church is the enemy of the devil, then now is not the time to walk away from the church. Now is not the time to allow the enemy room to sow more and more doubts in my head against God, against Christ, against the sacraments, against the priesthood, against the church. Now is not the time to be confused in the smokescreen and realizing I'm fighting against my own friendly fire, right? Smokescreen has us fighting in the wrong battlefields. The real battle's right here, in my heart. The real place to nourish it is in prayer, in the confessional, and from the Eucharist. And if we didn't know it, Satan did. And that's where the attack was. The one, I think I said this last week, but one of the persons arrested said, we were going to New Orleans to defile the house of God. Even the enemy knew where to find it. When so often we're like, I don't know, I'm not sure which way is the right way. Is there a God? Is he really speaking to us? Do I go to church on Sundays? Do I sleep through it? And we're confused. The devil's not confused. I almost feel like when you see Christ at the center and the church as the battlefield of my heart, my soul, my mind, my thoughts, and you start to understand real temptations versus distractions, it starts to unlock everything else. And if you think in terms of which ideologies, if I can't see which ones attack mankind, which ideologies maybe even attack God, maybe those aren't so clear, I can see more easily which ones attack the church. What media attacks the church? What Hollywood role models attack the church? Question the teachings of the church. Which TV series have me undermining my faith and my trust in the church? Sometimes it's out there. When I see a TV series called Lucifer, it's kind of made me a little unnerved. There's a lot of pressure in our minds and our hearts against the church directly, and indirectly, apparently against God, against Christ. Our Lord teaches us, see through the smoke screen, cut through the nonsense, and know the real enemy and the real fight, and don't miss it. It's a fight for your soul, and don't be caught sitting on the sidelines, worrying about a splinter in your finger. When souls are at stake, yours and others. That's why you notice the letter we read before Mass, the Archbishop changed what we're so used to. Coming to Catholic Mass, you finish the announcements, you start the prayer for the family, which is important, we'll pray it before Mass, but what's really important is the prayer against spiritual evil. The prayer to St. Michael for his help, the heavenly host to fight for us in the real battle. Each one of us can count the temptations in our thoughts and our thinking and the temptations in our hearts against God, his ways, his church. Which side of the fight am I on? And am I recognizing my points of vulnerability? Am I fortifying my faith? Am I drawing not more distance from church because I'm scared because of what might happen or the health issues or other issues, or I don't like Father, or I don't agree with who he agrees with, or is all that distancing myself from the sources of my Christian life and my soul? Then I need to refocus. I need some quiet. I need time. If I've been nourishing my soul on CNN or Fox News, and that's all I think about all day, I need to stop, turn that off, get on my knees, and really deeply listen. The advice of our Blessed Mother is the most powerful advice. Do whatever he tells you. When I vote, do I vote this way or that way? Listen. Read. Fill your heart and mind with enough to know, and then listen. and do whatever he tells you. Do I participate in this gossip? Do I slander this person? Do I side with that party or that drama situation? Listen to the soul, what's going on in your soul, what God is saying. Discern what the enemy is saying and don't go the wrong way. Much less follow the enemy, not even to listen at all. We simply ask our Blessed Mother to help us in that battle of discernment to recognize the real fight, not to forget who we are, whose image is stamped on our hearts, why the enemy of my soul hates it so much and seems to be doing anything to keep me from nourishing and reinforcing that image of God in my heart, in my soul, and has me caught up in 1,000 other things. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.